A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked, and there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound from heaven, like the sound of rushing water, or a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. They were singing what seemed to be a new hymn before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this hymn except the 144,000 who had been ransomed from the earth. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been ransomed as the first fruits of the human race for God and the Lamb. On their lips, no deceit has been found. They are unblemished. The word of the Lord. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see
Dominus vobiscum.
Et tu spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest, for those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood.
Verbum Domini.
We get a glimpse of St. John's vision in our first reading today of the Lamb standing on Mount Zion and surrounded by a multitude of faithful followers who have been redeemed. They're also marked with his name and his Father's name on their foreheads. They've been purified by the Lamb's sacrifice and have been found faithful to him. And St. John also hears a loud sound from heaven. It's powerful, and yet it's appealing. He describes it as the sound of rushing water or a loud peal of thunder, and also like harpists playing their harps. And he also hears a heavenly choir singing a new hymn before the throne of God. So we get a glimpse of the power of God, and yet at the same time, the beauty and appealing nature of heaven. And just as Moses had led Israel in singing a song of praise to God after they had been saved from their enemies by crossing through the Red Sea, now the saints in heaven sing a song of praise to God as they enter into the promised land of heaven. Remember, we get that every year at the Easter Vigil, one of those many readings that we have. We hear the song of Moses and the people as they rejoice and they praise God for their deliverance. But in the reading, the song, the faithful are praising God for the gift of salvation and their redemption. And one who praised God for the gift of salvation was St. Catherine of Alexandria, whose optional memorial is today. She was born into a family of nobility in the early 4th century in Alexandria, Egypt, and was gifted with a great love for learning. And when she was 18 years old, she debated about 50 pagan philosophers. She listened to their arguments patiently, and then she gave such a clear and convincing defense of the truths of faith that they all converted. They renounced their paganism. They became Christians. The emperor Maxentius, impressed by Catherine's beauty and her knowledge, offered her a royal marriage if she would deny her faith. But she refused him, and she had made a vow of virginity before God. After her refusal, she was arrested and thrown into prison. And it's said that when the emperor was away, Catherine converted his wife and about 200 of his soldiers. And when he came back, he had them all sentenced to death, including Catherine. She was bound to a wheel that was equipped with sharp spikes, but it broke when she touched it, and so she was beheaded. And she's seen as the patroness of students, of teachers, librarians, lawyers, philosophers, and preachers. So she's a powerful and has seemed to be a powerful intercessor. Many ask for her prayers for assistance. So we ask her intercession today that we may continue to study our faith and, like her, be able to defend and explain it clearly, convincingly, and with such charity that it leads others to Christ Jesus and his church. In our gospel today, our Lord's watching the crowds coming by to put in their offering into the temple treasury, and he praises this poor widow as a model of self-giving to God. Even though her offering was a very small amount of money, our Lord said that she put in more than all the rest because she gave everything she had. She offered her whole livelihood. And why would she do that? Well, she wanted to give everything to God because she had a great love for him and a deep trust in his divine providence. And rather than the amount of what she gave, what impressed the Lord was the sacrificial nature of it and the love with which she offered that gift. This is what St. John Chrysostom pointed out. He said, "The Lord does not look at the amount offered, but at the affection with which it is offered." If one's heart is generous, then it's more capable of receiving the graces and blessings that God desires to give us. On the other hand, if we cling to our possessions, if we're disorderly attached, our hearts are less likely to be open to receive God's grace. If we empty ourselves of attachment to our things, we leave more room for God to work in our lives. And because the poor widow was detached from material possessions and wealth, it was easier for her to cling to God. And it's similar with us. The more we have and the more we are attached to what we have, we tend to be filled with more concern and anxiety about our possessions. And on the other hand, if we practice detachment and try to live simplicity of life, it's easier to be generous and to have a greater trust in God. And so this poor widow in the gospel is a good example to all of us of being generous. And we can look at it particularly in the area of our spiritual lives and the effort and the time we put into growing in holiness and into our prayer lives. The Italian priest and servant of God, Father Dolindo Ruotolo, would say regarding the giving of our time to God, he said, "We're used to giving the Lord just a little bit of our surplus and to give it without generosity or true love. If we made an account of what we give to ourselves and to others and what we give to God, a great imbalance would be evident. As we go through our day, we forget God almost completely. And if we happen to think of him, we give him only a small fraction of our time. Even this seems excessive to us, and every day we shorten it further, even though it should be our supreme happiness to speak to the Lord. And we know that we will never regret the time that we give to God in our prayer life, each and every day. And our Lord is calling us ultimately to imitate him, to love as he loved us. He held nothing back, and he laid down his life for us on the cross. And he continues to be generous with us in giving us the greatest gift possible, the gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist. We pray that our relationship with the Lord may not be half-hearted, but rather that we may give ourselves generously to him in everything that we do today and for the rest of our lives. We also ask for the grace to have a greater trust in him and to be fully confident that he is powerful enough to provide for us, even in the most difficult of situations and circumstances. Now, that Italian priest that I mentioned earlier, the servant of God, Father Delindo Rotolo, he was a contemporary of Padre Pio. It said that Padre Pio would refer to him when pilgrims would come to him, to Padre Pio, and they'd tell him that they were from Naples. And he would say, "Why do you come here if you have Father Delindo in Naples? Go to him. He's a saint." So Father Delindo was known for his deep simplicity and his unshaking trust in God. He suffered much. He had crippling arthritis, and I think he was bedridden for the last 10 years of his life or so. But we get there's a it's becoming more and more well-known, a surrender novena that was given to him. And in that novena is the powerful refrain that we can all make a part of our own prayer life, and that's simply, "O Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything."